It is noontime in Atlanta, time for Radio Bible Study. We begin with a couple of questions today. Number one, does God intend that man and woman be equal in authority? And number two, does God intend that men and women should be distinct in appearance? We'll be considering these questions in just a few moments as we study together from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Get your Bible, turn to that chapter, and be ready to study with us. You're listening to Radio Bible Study, a program brought to you each day, Monday through Friday at this time, to encourage the study of the Bible on your lunch hour. We want to make a special announcement today. Beginning next Lord's Day, the Church of Christ in Embry Hills, who bring you this broadcast each day, will be involved in a series of gospel services. We'll have with us Harold Dowdy of Jacksonville, Florida. We'll be preaching each day at noon and each evening at 8 o'clock. We'll be making further announcements about that as the week progresses, but we would like to encourage you now to be making your plans to be with us next week at the Church of Christ in Embry Hills to hear Harold Dowdy. On Friday of this week, the Lord willing, we want to give our time to answering Bible questions. We already have two or three questions that have been called in by our listeners, but we'll have time for one or two more. If you have a Bible question to which you would like to give us, for us to give attention, call us at 455-8412, or you may write us at 3250 Chambly Tucker Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30341. You should call and no one is in the office. You'll be answered electronically. We hope that you will feel perfectly free to leave your question as you're directed by transcription or by recording. We'll get the question and give attention to it on Friday, the Lord willing. Now to our study of 1 Corinthians. In the first six chapters of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul discusses matters that were brought to his attention by the reports of travelers who were traveling apparently from Corinth to Ephesus, where Paul was when he wrote this book. But beginning in chapter 7, he answers questions which he was asked by the church in Corinth. You'll notice that as he begins in chapter 7 and verse 1, he says, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me," and in the seventh chapter, he's discussing marriage, about which they apparently had asked. Then in chapter 8, he begins with this word "now," saying, "Now as touching things offered to idols," indicating that they had asked him about that, whether they could eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols. In chapter 11 and verse 2, we find this word "now" again, indicating that he is answering yet another question that they had put to him. Let us read that verse. "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." You'll observe from this reading that Paul is stating that they have actually kept the instructions that he has given them in the matter that's to be discussed. But apparently they had written to ask him why those instructions had been given. The instructions had to do with the wearing of a head covering. Paul had taught that a woman should wear one when praying or prophesying, but that a man should not. And apparently they wanted to know why. Well, in verse 3, Paul says, "I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Now this verse settles the question of authority. God is at the very head. The authority of Christ is the authority that God has given to him. Jesus said, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth." Matthew 28:19-20. But under Christ is the man, and under man is the woman. Regardless of one's opinions, regardless of civil rights laws or what not, this is God's arrangement, and no one has a right to question the arrangements that God has made. God is the creator, and God can create according to his will. But now Paul goes on to base his explanation upon this foundation, beginning with verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things are of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. These are verses 4 through 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now what is the teaching of these verses for today? Well, there are four very common views regarding these verses. The first is that the primary teaching of the passage is that a woman should have long hair. You will note that it is said that her hair is given her for a covering. But is this the only covering that the passage is talking about? I do not believe so. Now, I believe that this passage clearly teaches that there should be a difference in the length of a woman's hair and a man's hair. Listen again to verses 14 and 15. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now, this has been seriously violated in our times. When teaching is done on this subject, the question is usually raised, well, how long is long? I'm not sure I can answer that always, but I know there should be a difference. And I believe that every Christian woman who truly wants to please God will want her hair unquestionably long, and I believe that every man who wants to please God will want his hair unquestionably short. How short, I don't know, or how long for the woman, I don't know, but it should be of such length that no one would question that it was long for the woman and short for the man. But again, I suggest that I do not believe that this is the only covering that is here under discussion. In verse 6, he says, if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. Now, if the hair is the only covering described, if she were not covered, this would mean that she had no hair on her head, and it would be impossible then to shear her. So he must be speaking about another covering. In verse 7 he says, a man indeed ought not to cover his head. And when he says this, he is talking about something that a man would put on. And if he's talking about something a man would put on, it must also be talking about something that a woman would put on, and saying that she should put on what a man should leave off. Therefore, I feel that this position must be rejected. Well, does this mean then that a woman must have an artificial covering on her head when she engages in worship to God? There are at least two explanations which would make this teaching of no application today. The first is the view that this teaching had to do only with a local custom in Corinth. It is said that in those days, a woman's head covering indicated subjection, and that for that reason, she was to wear one in Corinth. But since it has no such significance today, we're told that she is not required to wear one, since it is not our custom now. It is not necessary that she should do so. The other view, which would maintain that this teaching has no application now, is that it pertained only to the age of inspiration. It is said that women under the inspiration of the Spirit, praying or prophesying, needed to show their subjection by wearing a head covering. But now that the age of inspiration is past and women no longer prophesy, at least by inspiration, it is assumed that this teaching no longer applies. Now, these two views would suggest that this teaching does not require of a woman today that she should wear a head covering, since it is not the custom in our time, does not signify subjection, and since the age of inspiration has passed. However, there is one other view that we must mention. There are those who believe that this teaching does still apply to Christian women in public assemblies, that they should wear a head covering in public worship, that this teaching requires this of her. Now the question may be raised, well, what is the Church of Christ law on this subject? The answer is that the Church of Christ does not make laws on this or any other subject. The Church of Christ is not equipped nor authorized to make laws. The Church simply follows them. And the teaching of the Scripture is the law that the Church must follow. Well, someone else might ask, what is the Church of Christ view on this subject? And I would have to answer that all four of these views are held among churches of Christ, and as far as I know, all four views may be held by members of the Church of Christ in Embry Hills. Well, shouldn't you be united, someone may ask, and the answer is yes. We should be united on this subject, and we are working toward that end by studying what the Word of God has to say on the subject. But no one has the authority to tell others what they must believe and practice. After all, this is an individual matter. What you do does not affect my worship to God, nor does what I do in this regard affect your worship to God. This means that there can be different practices without our being affected in our acceptance with God by what others are doing. Now, if this was a group action in which all were involved and all were affected, then there would absolutely have to be unity if we were to have fellowship. But since what I do does not affect your acceptance with God, and vice versa, we can be different on this and still have fellowship with one another. This does not mean that all the positions are right. They're not all right. But being an individual matter, we will all face God in judgment on the subject, and each will give an account of himself unto God. Now, I feel it is reasonable that I should tell you what I believe on this subject. It is my personal view that this teaching still applies. It seems to me that the reasons given were not custom in Corinth, but rather universal, eternal principles. Furthermore, it seems to me that regardless of the meaning of the word prophesying, it cannot be shown that prayer is limited to inspired prayer. And so I am confident that the safe plan and the safe practice is for women to wear something on their head as they go to God in worship. I cannot enforce this view. I would not undertake to enforce this view on the Embry Hills Church or on anybody else. What is taught in the Scripture is what must be practiced, and it is upon what the Scriptures teach that we must all face God in judgment. Many of the women in the Embry Hills Church do not wear a head covering in public worship. I would not want them to begin it because they thought I felt that they should do so. Whatever they practice, whatever you practice, I want it to be on the basis of what you find the Word of God to teach. We'll continue with our study of 1 Corinthians 11 tomorrow. This is Sewell Hall for Radio Bible Study, brought to you by the Church of Christ in Embry Hills.